Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Broncos training camp truly kicking off today. And technically, it's not the first day of camp, but it's the first real day of camp when they were legitimately out there getting close to what it will look like exactly 30 days from today on Monday Night Football when the Broncos host the Tennessee Titans. We are barreling down the road for the 2020 NFL season. And when it comes to the Broncos' first-round pick from last year, Noah Fant got off to the best start that a tight end has ever gotten off to in the history of the Denver Broncos. If you were going to grade his season, Stoke, what would you give Noah Fant for his rookie year?
B minus. I thought when you look at rookies, it's a tough thing to do. Tight end position, there's not many of them that come in and make a huge impact their rookie season. And I thought, by and large, you take the whole thing into consideration, it was a lot more positives than negatives there. Certainly, we talked about some things that he needs to clean up. And,
sure.
You know, we had some fun with it. But I thought, overall, he had a really, really good rookie season.
B minus. That's fair. Yeah. That's very fair.
Where would you put it at?
I think it's right there. I'll say, I'll give him just a tick higher with a B. There was some gaffes.
Yeah. Like, but he's a rookie, right? I mean, can we not expect him to, you know, get stoned by Xavier Rhodes? Can we not expect him to just give the ball up to the Packers and just say, here, you want it, you can have it? We're going to have a few of those plays, Zach.
What was the low point?
I think the Packers won.
Agreed.
The guy just took the ball from him. And the Raiders game where he, like, tried to pivot and do a 360 and
ran
go
backwards.
And when the first down was like a yard away. Yeah. And it's like, dude, you're 650. I mean, you're 250, 6'5", 250.
Yeah.
Run the guy over. Get that yard. Why are you trying to reverse course here and change directions? And it just, no. So it just plays like that. But he's a rookie. Overall, a really, really good rookie season.
No doubt. For every one of those plays, there was a big play that made you say,
yes,
wow, that guy has got a real shot. And look at the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, wow. I put my head down for a second and we got ourselves a goal!
So 4 minutes into the first period, they score. Just about 4 minutes into the second period, they score. It's 2-1 Avs, early stages of the second period.
They got a break right there. It looked like went off the post for the Coyotes right before that. They had a good-looking shot and went off the post. And
oh, look at that.
Avs took advantage of it.
Love it. And that was Tyson Jost, a shot from Cale McCarr from the blue line.
Redirected.
Look at you. The first, like, couple weeks I was in town with Tyson Jost had just got done with, like, his NCAA tournament and was making his Avs debut. That was my first game at the Pepsi Center, was his first game. All right. Where were we?
Noah Fant.
This is Vic Fangio. On what he's looking for from Noah Fant in year two.
Just like he said, you know, improvement in all areas, improvement in his route running, improvement in his catching, improvement in his blocking, both run and pass. And I expect him to make those improvements. He's the right kind of guy. He's put in a lot of work to do that this offseason. He's a little bit heavier than he was last season. And I'll be surprised if we don't see good improvement from him.
I'd be surprised if we don't see good improvement.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to see from year one to year two. A guy that had a really good rookie season, you want to see him improve and take that next step. And
what does that look like for him?
Just more consistency, I think. You know, not having those plays that we talked about. Being able to just certain plays. You know, the Oakland Raiders game, reversing course there, getting the ball taken away from you in the Green Bay game, getting stoned by Xavier Rhodes. I mean, you're bigger, stronger than that guy. Lower your shoulder, get a couple extra yards. Just kind of having awareness, a little bit more awareness of what's going on. And I do want to see him adjust to the football better. Hopefully that will happen for him. You know, that was a big sticking point that we talked about in camp.
Yeah.
A lot. Merrilat brought it up and I started watching. I'm like, you're right. You're right. And it kind of continued. He does have a little bit of an issue tracking the deep ball.
He does.
And adjusting to it and stopping and coming back to get it are unbelievable.
Did they really just?
They really just tied it up. I mean, this is a team that couldn't even get a shot on goal last game, and you know, once we get a goal, they just come right back. And
so, less than 2 minutes after the Avs score, Coyotes tie it right back up.
I mean, you just can't do that if you're the Avs. You just can't. I mean, that's twice you've gotten the lead. You got them on the ropes, and I mean, just bad ball, bad ball, bad stick, bad puck play. I mean, what are we doing here, guys?
You're one of a kind. Here's my big question about Noah Fant, and I do think it's a big question. I think a portion of the downsides of his rookie season are very easy to clean up. The gaffe against the Packers, lowering his shoulder against Xavier Rhodes, and what was the third one that was glaring? The reverse. You can clean that stuff up.
Right.
The tracking of the football is the one area where I'm saying, is this going to stick in our craw for a couple years and we just know it to be a real weakness in his game?
Right. I don't know at the age of, you know, how old is he, 23, 24?
Yeah.
That you can fix your and get better at tracking the football. I think you've learned that growing up and either you got it or you don't have it. I don't know how you improve on that. I don't know if there's glasses that you wear.
No.
Just to train yourself. I don't know if you just work on catching deep balls and coming back and getting them. I don't know. I'm not sure that you can really improve on that aspect of your game. Do you think you can? I mean, can you get better all of a sudden? I mean, you're 23, 24 years old. You either got it or you don't when it comes to having that ability to adjust to a football. Either it's natural for you or it's not.
Could it be it was just his first year in the NFL, he was dwarfed by the entire thing, and in those moments, it just the moment was just a little bit too big for him in the first year of his career, and that as he gets more comfortable, he'll go back to his more natural self.
Yes. Right. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that's what happens.
But it just wouldn't shock me if for the next year or two, we're saying, man, we've been talking about this for a while. If there's, and I'm not dismissing the rest of his game because he'll hopefully do enough to make up for those moments. Right. But if it's just like, man, this guy just doesn't track the ball well, and it seems counterintuitive because he's a first round pick and his job is to catch the ball.
Yeah. Well, I think it is going to be something that we'll continue to notice and we'll continue to highlight.
You do think?
Oh, yes, I do. And I think it's going to be something where we'll see a few times a year, and we'll just be like, oh, put your foot in the ground and come back to it. Why are you running away from the football when it's underthrown? Things like that. I think that those things are going to continue for him. And hopefully it's not a lot. Hopefully they can improve a little bit. But I don't think it just goes away. And hopefully, like you said, once the game starts slowing down, he gets more comfortable. Maybe we look back and say, that was just a rookie season thing. But I tend to think that it's going to be something that we're going to see with him throughout his career.
Okay. That's another guy that you're going to need to keep a close eye on Monday when you're out there at camp.
I'm going to have my list. I think we're going to talk about it here in a little bit.
We are. So the things that Stokely, maybe the top 10 things that...
Let's not get carried away now. Come on now. Let's not get carried away.
Top five. Top five things.
Work in the top 10, and then I want your additions.
Okay.
And then RamosLaw.com text line, right? Help us out.
I like it.
What are the things that you want me to look out for at practice?
How about Monday? This one?
Not that I'm going to pay attention to it, but I might.
You might.
You
take
it
into consideration?
Yeah, I'll take everything into consideration.
The RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, acting up per usual. The moment is not too big for him. He just sucks.
Wow.
Come on, dude.
Man.
Are you serious? Come on. He had the best season in the history of the franchise for a rookie tight end. Take it easy on him. It's a work in progress. There were some really great moments, too.
There was. That's what we can't forget. And we can't forget he's a rookie. I think all in all, you give him a check on his rookie season.
Definitely.
He did well.
Great building block.
Yes.
All right. Kareem Jackson gave rare praise to one member of the Broncos offense. I tell you what he said. And
I want to guess, too.
Who he was talking about. We'll hear your guess. Tackle it all next.
He's a muscle car driving, Jordan sneaker wearing, fantasy football loving, red blooded American male. He's Cecil Lammy, and today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Cece, from your family at Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Zach here on behalf of my friends at American Financing. Did you know that a lower interest rate will not only save you big money in the long run, but it can also lower your monthly payment and help you build equity faster? It's true. And millions of homeowners can benefit now that mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in 3 years. So why not take advantage of a free mortgage review from American Financing? You can learn about new loan options that can save you up to $1,000 a month, maybe more. And you don't have to reset your loan term, meaning you're not paying for years that you don't need. Best of all, there are never any upfront fees, so you truly have nothing to lose and everything to gain by spending 10 minutes on the phone with one of their mortgage consultants. They're even open nights and weekends to fit your busy schedule. So start a conversation at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000, or visit them online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS number 182334. Call 303-695-7000 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. MedVed Chevrolet is hot, really hot. And during the hot summer savings event, MedVed has discounts on every 2020 Chevy, plus below market financing with your approved credit, or choose to defer your first payment for 90 days. MedVed has new 2020 all-wheel drive Traverse, Equinox and Trax, Blazers, Suburbans and Tahoes. Because while it's hot outside now, you know the first snows of winter just around the corner. And of course, MedVed has rows of Chevy Silverado and Colorado trucks, all at MedVed big box prices. MedVed's getting new inventory every day, so go to MedVedChevrolet.com. MedVed Chevrolet is hot.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
MedVed Chevrolet on the I-25 corridor, depart the 181 ramp Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVed Autoplex. Shop online at MedVedChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Dan Jacobs from Jacobs & Long Personal Injury Firm. We're not like the churn-and-burn TV lawyers who avoid the courtroom at all costs. I had a buddy that worked for one of those guys, and he was actually told, if there's any chance of a case going to trial, send that client somewhere else. Not us. I studied directly under America's greatest trial lawyer himself, Jerry Spence. And I love going to trial. And guess what? It scares the insurance companies to death. 303-LAW-2020. 303-LAW-2020. Here's another thing you probably didn't know about most lawyers. They won't help you get your car fixed if you've been in an accident. Nope. There's no money in it for them. But at Jacobs & Long, if we handle your personal injury claim, we'll help you get your car fixed for free. Plus, we'll help you recover your car's lost value that most lawyers don't even know about. Think about it. Would you pay top dollar for a car that's been in a wreck? Of course not. And the insurance company owes you for that lost value. Call us today. 303-LAW-2020. Say it with me. 303-LAW-2020. Or check us out at BigSettlements.net.
Brandon Stokely here for the only real estate agent I personally recommend, and that's my guy, Chad Madden. Why? Because he delivers results. Listen to this story about Joya and Mike in Centennial. Chad sold their home at full price before he even took photos or listed it on the market. Now you can't beat it. This is why Chad is my guy, because he delivers results just like he did for Joya and Mike. He sells homes for 3% more money. He sells them 3 times faster. He sold more homes than any other agent in Colorado with over 5,000 homes sold. Chad will sell your home in 29 days or less, or it's free. You don't have to pay Chad a commission. That's right, 29 days or less, or no commission paid to Chad. He won't lock you into a contract. You can cancel it anytime for any reason at zero cost to you. He'll also bring you a list of buyers looking in your neighborhood to buy your home. He may even get your home sold before putting it on the market. So give my guy Chad Madlam a call today at 303-900-8570, or you can go online to fastsellguaranteed.com. That's fastsellguaranteed.com.
This segment of 104.3 The Fan is brought to you by Chad Madlam Real Estate.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Pro Green Denver Synthetic Turf Systems. Here's Stokely and Zach.
All Jackson. We love ourselves some K-Jack, don't we? You talk about a guy that in year one just is a fan favorite because of his style of bruising football. And he spoke to the media just a couple minutes ago, in fact, and gave high praise for one member of the Broncos offense, Brandon Stokley. Who do you believe that to be?
I got to say, if it's coming from Kareem Jackson, it's got to be either a wide receiver or a quarterback.
You would be correct.
Okay, so I'm looking at, it's either two wide receivers here, or it's Drew Lock. So it's either Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, or Drew Lock. Final answer, Drew Lock.
This is Kareem Jackson, how it will be difficult to cover Jerry Jeudy.
Oh.
I think it would be very difficult because, see, he has this unorthodox way of running routes. Who's kind of talking about it today? I mean, he can get in and out of his breaks no better than anyone I've ever seen before. For him to be a guy, be a rookie, you know, his tempo and his routes, the way he can change pace, the way he sells things, is very rare.
This is a guy who gets in and out of his break better than anyone I've ever seen before. Brandon Stokley, where did he come from?
Alabama?
Where did Kareem Jackson come from?
Oh, where did Kareem Jackson come from? You gotta specify what
specify.
Wait.
Where did Kareem Jackson play college?
South Carolina.
Was it South Carolina?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
I think it's Alabama, dude.
No, it's not Alabama, dude.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure, dude.
You wanna bet?
Huh?
You wanna bet?
Yeah.
I'll bet you coffee on Monday.
Okay. Sure.
Kareem Jackson played college football at Alabama.
Oh.
I'll take a grande iced coffee, one raw sugar, and a splash of half and half.
We'll call it even because you owed me a coffee for messing up the KKFN.
That's true. So back to even.
Sounds good.
But your answer made sense because I said, where did Kareem Jackson come from? Looking for you to say Houston Texans. You said Alabama, but both answers are correct. Because he played at Alabama, but so did Jerry Jeudy. But I'm talking about for him to give Jerry Jeudy that praise.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Bingo.
Gotcha.
This is a guy who was DeAndre Hopkins' teammate for years. And he is saying Jerry Jeudy. And he was teammates with Andre Johnson. Who
That's
was a
right.
darn good wide receiver in his own right.
Yes.
So you're talking about a guy who has played with two Hall of Fame caliber wide receivers. And is saying that Jerry Jeudy gets out of his break better than anyone I've ever seen. Is he just overly glossing them?
Right.
Maybe. But Kareem Jackson comes correct now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think you're going to go that overboard with it. Now, I mean, Kareem Jackson is, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, look, the way he runs routes is special. I mean, that's one of his strengths. But certainly, for that kind of praise, I mean, that says all you really need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's very, very talented.
I love it. This is more Kareem Jackson saying that Jerry Jeudy actually helps this secondary prepare for the wide receivers in the AFC West.
It's definitely going to be a challenge for opposing defenses, other guys in the secondary. For us, getting a chance to see him every day, it's definitely going to help us because, you know, it's another guy that we see twice a year that kind of puts us in the mind of him in terms of getting in and out of his breaks and running his route. So for us to be able to see him, you know, on a day-to-day basis, definitely going to help us. But definitely opposing defenses are definitely, he's going to pose a challenge, you know, for some other defenses.
Love it. This is more from Kareem Jackson. Can this defense be elite?
I think we can. I think we have the veteran guys on this defense that can, you know, be great leaders. You know, and not only that, I think we have the talent to it at every level. Adding Jarrell Casey along with Shelby Harris, and we got those two outside backers, Chubb and Vaughn, and also Jerry, and then you got Todd and AJ. Then our secondary, we got some guys that can be great leaders as well, in the addition of AJ and getting Bryce back. So I think at every level we have veteran guys that knows what it takes, that's played a lot of ball, and I think we'll definitely be ready and up for the task.
I like that. I mean, you know, he's spot on. Every single level, they got playmakers. Talking about the defensive line, you look at the linebackers, you look at the secondary. They got playmakers on every single level. And that's the makeup that you need for a really good defense. Are there some question marks? You know, we talk about the question marks. Cornerback position.
Mm-hmm.
How will those guys hold up? Is A.J. Boye, you know, we know we're paying him a lot of money, but how much good football does he have left in him? And, you know, we're going to get some other guys on the other side to step up or not. So there's some question marks there. But overall, when you look at where their strengths are, I mean, you can look at the defensive line, you can look at the linebacker, you can look at the secondary. And so the three-tier defense, I mean, they got check marks all over the place. So they should be really, really good. They got leadership qualities. They got veteran players. They got youth. I mean, they got the makeup to be a really good defense. Now they just got to go out and do it. I don't see, you know, it's they got to do it. Got to stay healthy. Got to go out there and play at a high level. But, man, you look at what they have. I mean, it's hard to pick it apart and say and feel negative about what they have right now.
Especially after hearing the news that Bryce Callahan is healthy and out there making plays.
That's right.
That's a huge step in the right direction. When I say elite, when I say elite in the NFL, what does that mean to you?
Elite?
Elite.
You're talking about elite defense? You're talking about
elite defense.
Or
elite anything. Elite quarterback. I mean, how many elite quarterbacks can there be?
Yeah, a couple. A three.
Three?
Yeah.
Four? Does the same logic apply for defense?
Sure. Yes.
So the goal should be elite. The goal should be to be an elite defense.
Absolutely.
Top three or four defense.
Yes. That's the expectations, and that's the goal, you know, for them. Absolutely, and that's the expectations for us.
Certainly. Certainly. No excuses here.
No, there's really not. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
5-on-3.
Yep.
What do we do now?
Yep.
What they called that?
Boarding.
Boarding?
I think that was the call, yeah.
The guy going to the boards too hard? Boarding?
Oh, they had the... So here's the scenario here. The game's tied 2-2, just under 8 minutes to go in the second period. We're talking about the Avs playoff game two. And they're going to be down 5-on-3 for 16 seconds.
That
and then
wasn't
they'll have
boarding.
To kill.
I don't know what that was. Interference.
Interference, I'm
that
sorry.
That wasn't boarding. He didn't... There's no water involved there.
Oh, my gosh. This is Kareem Jackson. Will the defense have to carry the offense? We'll get to that in just a second. Okay.
All right, back to 5-on-4.
Yeah, back to 5-on-4.
But that's like the last 4 minutes we've given them the power play. You know, so hopefully it doesn't wear us down.
Right. This is the third. That's the third penalty here for the Avs.
So, you know, you're playing a little bit sloppy. You're getting the lead, and then you're giving it right back up, and you're just giving Coyotes all the momentum, confidence-wise.
Yeah. Yep.
And now they're kind of free-rolling with all these penalties that the Avalanche are getting.
They've already put more shots on goal here midway through the or under 7 minutes to play in the second than they did all of game one. So an aggressive approach. Okay. Someone on the text line real quick says, sweet shirt, boys. This is Chris. Sweet shirts, boys. Shout out to Kendall in 104.3. Sounds like he got hooked up at Breaks Plus. Good for you, man.
Yeah, no, that's great. They are sweet shirts. The best ones that we've ever given out, I can tell you that.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And I messed up earlier in the week because each year we come up with a slogan. And earlier in the week I said it was Wacko for Flacco. That's not what it was.
Yeah. What was it?
Road to Redemption.
Road to Redemption. Gotcha.
The road was a dead end.
Yeah.
Another losing season for the Broncos.
Yeah, no.
Although, you know, look, the end of the road, it kind of smoothed out.
Yeah, it did. What's the street sign when you're going to a dead end? Like no through street here or something like that?
No, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's, we were definitely going towards a dead end. And but we made it. And then we hit some gravel road, and then we had a little bit smooth sailing.
Yeah.
So we were just a year in advance, Zach.
And
the road to redemption was just a year in advance.
And by the way,
and it was it's a long road. It's a little bit of a rocky road. Now it's smoothing out.
I never met anyone who was Wacko for Flacco, by the way. I never met anyone who was Wacko for Flacco. Not one person.
No.
And you know who, like, and I was just like, okay, like I was trying to be optimistic about it. But you know who I feel like this year about where I'm just kind of like, okay.
Can we get a holding call on the Coyotes there? Look like holding.
I feel the same way about Pat Shurmur this year as I did about Joe Flacco last year.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of like, okay, we'll see how this goes.
You know what? I'm with you on that, on the whole Pat Shurmur deal. It's, you know, with Flacco last year, it's the veteran quarterback. You seem like we're going down that road a little bit now. It's the offensive coordinator thing is just getting old here.
It's exhausting.
It's getting really old.
It's exhausting.
And we're going that veteran route again with the coordinators. Like, okay, just show me. I don't want to hear the talk anymore.
Noah Fant spoke to the media. What did he think when they drafted Albert O? You'll hear Noah Fant's response next.
As I walk through the venue,
I won't put you through it. Shout out to Coolio, though. Mr. Slip Slide. Noah Fant.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Dangerous Minds. Emilio. I haven't seen that movie in years. Should cut it back on. The Dylan contest. Who remembers? Noah Fant. What do you think Noah Fant thought when they drafted Albert Okwuegbunam?
I think he probably... What did he really think, or what did he tell us he thought?
What did he really think?
I think he really thought...
Are you
like,
kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need him.
Coach,
why do we need him? I'm the big physical, you know, tight end slash deep threat, go up and get the football. Like, that's me. Why are you drafting another one like me? That's what I think he really thought. I mean, what is he going to tell us he thought? Like, okay, good. It's another addition to the room. More playmakers is better for the offense. Going to open things up. I think that's what he's going to tell us.
I mean, not really. You know, I'm trying to get better, and obviously after talking to our coaches and things like that, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, become the best tight end I can be. So I'm happy to have those guys, though. They're both great guys. Nick's a super funny dude. He's obviously a veteran in our room. And then Albert's been great, too. He's a young guy coming in. So it's a lot of fun having both of them in the room. So hopefully we can all get better together.
There you go.
Okay, I mean, it's the right political,
yeah,
correct team answer.
It's more than just the tight end, though. It's Drew Locke's tight end.
That's right. That's a great point. Great point.
17 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Between the two.
They already have that connection, that chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Just it's being
gonna
a competitor.
Fun. It's going to be fun to watch. That chemistry, that those dynamics this year. I mean, will he have a big role at all this year? Will it be a little role? Will it be a big role? Medium? You know, what will it look like for Albert O this year? What are your expectations for him this year?
Very little.
Yeah.
Very little. I want to be excited about Albert O, and I am in the long run. But year one, you know, we talked about this a lot last year. Year one for tight ends, it's so challenging. You're not a running back. You don't play D-line. You have to understand. You have to understand the running game. You have to understand your points of attack in the blocking game. You have to understand the entirety of the offense so you can go execute those routes. There is a reason. It's not like a broken record dating back to last year. There's a reason there's been 1,000-yard tight end rookie in the history of the league. And that was Mike Ditka 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. Wide receivers come in. It happens all the time.
Right.
But their responsibility on their plate, it's a lot. You take away the offseason, it's going to be really, really challenging. So it's a good thing that the Broncos aren't destitute at that position. They got some guys. And it starts with Noah Fant.
Yes. So, yeah. And I'm with you there. I don't expect a whole lot from it. What I'm hoping that we get from him, though, is some sprinkle in of him throughout the course of games in certain situations. And we have certain packages just for him, you know, whether it be red zone, whether it be short yardage, those types of things where, you know, we can have both of those guys on the football field at the same time. Now, I don't think they'll throw a lot at him this year. obviously it's going to be tough, and you made some great points there. All of those are facts, right? It's tougher for we got a scrum in front of the net here. Dragging them on the ice. You got to love this.
It's getting chippy out there.
Coyotes on another power play, by the way.
The fourth penalty of the game for the Avs.
Bad puck by the Avs right now. Just doing silly things.
Bad puck.
Doing silly things. Putting themselves in tough situations.
Yeah.
You want to give a underdog, some confidence in life. Keep play like they're playing right now, and just giving them opportunities.
Yep,
sloppy play.
Floppy.
But so that's what I'm hoping. Like best case scenario for me this year is Albert O is a situational football player that is a red zone threat for us, and he has that. Like you brought up, he does have that chemistry with Drew Locke. So there's something already there. They don't have to build that, and you already have no offseason. So for those guys, it's like, okay, they didn't need an offseason.
Right.
They already have that. This is the way we like things done. This is, I know Albert Ho, his strengths are. So that goes a long way this year.
And it's incumbent on Pat Shurmur to simplify everything for Albert Ho. Because he's too good of a physical tool. This is a big, strong, fast, super fast tight end. You look at the speed on this Broncos offense. You talk about stressing out defensive coordinators. I'll tell you what, man. You send Albert O up a seam, and you'll be able to be so creative. And hopefully Pat Shurmur can maximize all these guys. Because when you start to use your imagination and forecast the athletes that are on this side of the ball, it's awesome. It's awesome. Lot more to get to from Noah Fant. Do we have Darren here? We do. D-Mac has been out at training camp watching practice. Some folks thought we'd never get here, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's just take a moment of appreciation here on August 11th.
Feels good.
That we are watching Broncos football, all right? August 14th. We are watching Broncos football. We, meaning D-Mac. And he will fill us in on everything we need to know next. Our very own D-Mac was out at training camp. Now, why Darren was there for the first day? Not sure. Was it seniority? Did he grease some palms? Not sure.
Wow.
Kiss a lot of butts around here. That's what he's doing.
But he was.
Wow.
He was out there. D-Mac, I am so fascinated what happened today, because we've always just been able to go out there and watch for ourselves. But today's training camp, really, it's not the first day, but it truly kind of is the closest thing we've got to what will be happening in 30 days from now, Monday Night Football. What was your biggest takeaway, man?
How normal everything was. That, to me, felt weird. That everything was so normal. That everything that we've gone through, when you were watching the practice today, it was like a regular training camp practice. So, kudos to the Broncos and their staff and just the way they just done everything to get to this point, I thought was impressive that this could even happen. It did feel like, there were a few less guys out there, because there are a few less guys out there. Not a lot, but a few less guys. And the other big takeaway was how sharp the offense actually looked, fellas. How about that?
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I heard you on earlier.
Jerry Jeudy. I mean, where's the tailor for the gold jacket?
He's moonwalking in, right, Zach?
Like me.
Yeah.
Dude, this guy looks like he's been in the NFL for 5 years. Never mind 5 minutes. I mean, I get it. It is what it is today. But there's no doubt that this guy's going to be a star. And there's no doubt we're going to deal with some issues with KJ Hamler. Both those things kind of popped up today.
I love it. I love it. How about Drew Locke? What did he look like today out at practice?
Well, wasn't it nice to have your starting quarterback look like the best quarterback out there? That was just a real nice moment that sometimes in training camp we haven't always seen. He looked in charge. He looked under control. He looked composed. He moved well. He hit his targets great. I thought Drew Locke had a really good day. And there's just, seriously, fellas, There's no debate. We're not going to be talking about Jeff Driskel or how great was Rippon or none of that is going to happen. It is simply going to be, you know, the different stages of Drew Lock, the end.
Love it.
D-Mac joining us here. He was out at training camp. Talk about the play, and the Broncos actually just publicized this video. And by the way, I believe, do you remember a couple weeks ago, Stoke?
Yes, I do.
Where the Cleveland Browns came out and said they are going to have a camp show because we can't be out there.
You were supposed to reach out and give us an update, and you never did.
I'm here to tell you.
Oh, now you're 2 weeks late.
The Broncos are going to be putting together a daily video package on training camp.
Love it.
And so we can be caught up visually. And I'm telling you, D-Mac, this catch that I see from KJ Hamler, it had to have been
the touchdown catch. Was it the diving touchdown catch?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Best catch of camp today for sure, by far. So wait, they didn't feature the ball that went off his hands at the goal line and right into Michael Ojemudia to end practice?
D-Mac. You know they're not going to put that out there.
All right, but that's KJ Hamler. Yes, that was a great play. It was the best catch of the day, no doubt about it. But, hey, you know, a day is a whole day, right? Up until the last play of the day. And the last play of the day was from Driskel. It wasn't from Drew Lock, but from Driskel to Hamler, right at the goal line. Accurate pass, went right through his, you know, he's not the biggest fella, and I know short guys, went right through his hands and bounced easily up in the air for Ojemudia to be at the right place at the right time. So both of those things happen. So let's keep it in mind. Both of those things happen.
Sure. And talk about defensively. I'm seeing some video of Bryce Callahan with a really, really nice interception. That had to be good to see him out there making plays.
Bryce Callahan in the slot for the vast majority of the day with the ones, and just to see him out there moving around, I thought was terrific, you know, and great. And then A.J. Boye's there, and then I don't know what they're doing at the other corner, fellas. It was, Bosby, and it was a mixture of a bunch of dudes, Harris, Devontae Harris, and I don't think they've got that squared away. I should know, too, on the offensive line, if you're keeping track, Loy Cushenberry will not be a right-from-the-get-go starter.
Oh, wow.
Today, Austin Schlottman, the deli man, Schlottman was starting at center. And not that Cush couldn't take over from that, but we have seen guys who are the guys from the get-go, from the first practice. And Bowles was like that. Reisner was like that. Our Big O, Orlando Franklin, was like that. J.D. Walton, Zane Beatles. I mean, there have been guys, fellas, who are just the guy from the very first practice on. And Cush was not that guy today. Schlottman was the starting center. Cush was running with the twos.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit surprised, and I'm a little bit not surprised, because the sentiment from the Broncos, the reason I'm a little bit surprised, because the sentiment coming from within the organization was like rave reviews about Lloyd Cushenberry, how quickly he's picking everything up, how smart he is. But then I know Vic Fangio and the way that he has made someone like Drew Lock have to unseat Kevin Hogan. Now, I think that's the silliest thing in the world, that he at one point made a boxing analogy like you got to knock out the champ. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes Kevin Hogan the champion?
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, does this make, you know, Austin Schlottman, what equity at center does Austin Schlottman have? So I think this is kind of silly, because in 30 days, it's going to be Lloyd Cushenberry out there starting at center.
Is it? Are you sure about that?
I guess I'm not positive, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, they've had a lot of Zoom meetings. They've had a couple weeks of going through things. They've, they've had some time put in. Hey, listen, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. And you're not right. I'm certainly not saying he's not the future, because I think certainly he is. But, hey, just, you know, something to keep an eye on when you guys eventually get out there.
That's a little bit surprising to me. I thought that Cushenberry was just going to be the guy from day one. And so that is a little bit surprising. We'll see. We'll see how long the Slotsky man can hold him off, I guess.
By the way, at Bolsey, our guy Bolsey,
uh-huh,
he was a rock. He didn't move from left tackle today. But right tackle was a rotation between Jake Rogers and Elijah Wilkinson.
Okay. Well, that's going to be interesting to follow, and especially moving forward once Damar Dotson gets going and gets up to speed.
Yep.
Dotson was
off to the side with the coach. And that's just like, hey,
learning.
This is this play, this is
right.
that play. I mean, that's very, very, very typical for guys that come in. They don't take any, reps. They watch an entire practice with a coach. I've seen that a bunch of times, and that happened with Dotson today.
Yeah, he's going to have probably a few more of those to try to get up to speed. I mean, he's got to learn this offense.
Yeah.
These guys got a big head start on him. D-Mac, the running back position, did you see who went first, who went second? How did that look between Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon?
It was pretty split. It was pretty even. It was interesting to look at Gordon and Lindsay standing side by side. I mean, it's a significant difference in size. So, there's that. But if you wanted to sort of say, oh, well, that guy's one and that guy's two, wasn't clear. But I got a guy. Every year there's a guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every year there's a running back that's a guy.
Yep.
And this year is number 32, Levante Bellamy.
Okay.
Guys, if we're looking for vet cuts and the new running back guy, vet cut, Royce Freeman, Levante Bellamy, who's an unsigned undrafted free agent, keep your eyes on him. And they were really interested in him. They paid him a good chunk of change for an undrafted free agent. They put a priority on him. And I don't really know where Royce Freeman fits. And there's some interesting stuff on Bellamy. Check him out when you
love
get a
it.
Chance.
Yeah. And here's the Cliff Notes version of what you need to know about Levante Bellamy. D-Mac just mentioned he went undrafted. He's undersized. He's just 5'9", less than 200 pounds. He's 23 years old. He played college football at Western Michigan. Very productive over a four-year career. Had over 600 carries, over 3,700 yards. 35 career touchdowns. His yards per carry was terrific, six yards per carry. And he also did a pretty good job of catching the football, 57 receptions over the course of his career. So not earth-shattering receiving numbers, but there's the Cliff Notes version. That'll be a guy I'll have my eye on Wednesday when I'm out there. Stokely will be out there on Monday. D-Mac, the tight ends, what did you see out of the tight end group?
Don't you find it interesting that Jake Butt is still on the team? That after all he's been through, hey, good for Jake Butt. But he was out there running around, catching passes. Noah Fant looks bigger, by the way. I know on the conference call he talked about putting on some pounds. He actually does look a little bit bigger for whatever that's worth. The tight ends were used a lot. Troy Fumagalli was kind of in the mix a little bit more than I kind of expected. But a lot of action to the tight ends, which I think is going to be a huge part of this Pat Shurmur offense. So they were a big part of everything that was going on today, for sure.
Well, I think that's great news, especially when you look at having Albert O and some of the resources that they put in the tight end group. What do you think about, because Vic Fangio talked about Noah Fant, talked about him putting on weight. We hadn't talked about that, Zach, but I want to get your opinion on this, D-Mac. Do you think that's a good thing? I mean, he was already pretty big. He's more of a speed guy. Did he really need to put on extra weight? You think that's a good thing?
Oh, my God. So you know how it is in the dumb NFL. They just emphasize blocking at the tight end to the degree that you want to throw up. They always make that such – I roll my eyes at it. So I think that's a little weight by guilt. It's not bad weight, it's just like, oh, you got to block. Like, oh, my God, please.
You do kind of have to block, though.
Let's just catch touchdowns. I'm with you, D-Mac.
They say it into reality, Stoke and Zach. So, I mean, it ends up being the case. But, Noah Fant's not on this team to block. He's on this team to have impact plays. But if enough people scream at you about how important it is to freaking block, you put on weight to block every now and then. So I just don't want to slow him down. But you can tell he's put on a little size for sure. He looked good. He looked solid.
It's kind of like how we've guilted you into wearing nicer clothes.
Wow.
You know?
I did.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.